The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we're going to talk about the weekend sport. Nathan Murphy, broadcaster with Off the Ball and commentator at that match yesterday at Old Trafford, joins me now. Nathan, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Let's talk about that because I never saw a more miserable face than Ten Hag's towards the latter part of the second half as the rain poured down, and everyone knows he's got a he doesn't have a hair on the top of his head, so the water was flowing off right down
like
his
a
face.
Waterfall. It's usually the waterfall from the stand at Old Trafford.
He looked miserable.
And why wouldn't he? Because his team were absolutely battered by Tottenham yesterday. Second consecutive home game, beaten by 3-0. It was the exact same scenario against Liverpool. 3-0 was the best that Manchester United could have hoped for. And yesterday in the first half, Spurs ran them ragged from minute one.
Yeah, they scored what, in the third minute?
Third minute. Mickey van de Ven, the Tottenham centre half, is allowed run 75, 80 yards, the length of the pitch, puts it on a plate for Brennan Johnson. And Manuel Ugarte is the latest player to come into a Manchester United midfield, and he is the chosen one, the one who is going to have the legs that Casemiro didn't
have. He doesn't
have
the legs.
Who was expected to step across and just stop those type of things from happening. But Tottenham, remember, both these sides have had the exact same start of the season. There's been some questions about Ange Postecoglou, about their openness, about their style of football. They just played Manchester United off the park. United had no answers. They had 65, 70% possession away from home. And we've seen this from Manchester United. There's no backbone. When they concede one, it always feels like they're going to capitulate. And albeit it was 1-0 at half time, it should have been 3 or 4-0.
Ten Hag was going on about, well, if there hadn't been for the red card, which some people would say was a soft enough red card, might have been a yellow, might have been more appropriate. If it hadn't been for that, they were still in the game.
Listen, they're 1-0 down at the time. If it stays 11-11 and they had a spell during the second half, or maybe if they had a
the
full...
The 10 paid better than the 11 for that spell.
They did, and Tottenham suddenly looked a little bit nervous. But I don't think anyone watching that game in the first half could have said that Tottenham didn't deserve to be 2 or 3 goals ahead. They had 4 gilt-edge chances. They hit the post. And Manchester United looked a complete rabble. And they've looked that consistently. And we sort of knew this moment was coming. This season for Erik ten Hag, they didn't give him their backing. They were sort of forced into giving him a new contract because they couldn't find anybody else that they wanted to take their job.
Have they got someone? Have they got someone
in the
background?
No, it doesn't seem so. Gareth Southgate is the name that keeps coming up, the former England manager who it seems is quite close to the new hierarchy that's in place. Jim Ratcliffe, the billionaire owner of Ineos, who has come in and he's put together a very experienced footballing hierarchy with the likes of Dan Ashworth from Newcastle, Omar Bereda is the new CEO. He's come in from Manchester City. Jason Wilcox is very highly regarded. So United feel they have the infrastructure now to make the right appointment. But they've made so many appointments over the last 10 years and each of them has ended up in this exact same scenario.
What do you think is going wrong? I mean, is it down to Ten Hag and not being able to inspire his team? Because they have assembled a team of some talent now. I mean, the excuse last year was injury, 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 injury. That excuse is no longer valid. Harry Maguire had a bit of a knock, but I mean, I'm not sure we miss him.
No, and they brought in Matthias De Ligt and Nasser Masraoui at the back, both of whom were players that De Ligt had at Ajax. And like De Ligt is one of the most talented defenders of his generation, certainly started out that way and has always played for top teams. So he's a ball-playing centre-half, which is what Manchester United needed. But he made so many mistakes, countless times giving the ball away, and everybody's playing below themselves. But this has just been the problem ever since Alex Ferguson has left. They've gone, they've invested in a manager, invested in his players, and then a new guy will come in and Gareth Southgate will want something completely different. They'll have to go invest all over again. And if anything, they're getting further and further away from City, Arsenal and Liverpool. Like, they finished 8th last season, and to be honest, that's where you'd expect them to finish
again. And
we
should mention
season.
That Liverpool are top.
They are, they are. Manchester City, without Rodri now for the rest of the season, the best player in the world right now. They had a 1-1 draw against Newcastle and Liverpool took full advantage against Wolves. Had a few nervy moments. They were started slowly, got their goals. They've got so much depth off the bench and they've got so much attacking talent in that squad that you think of that 1500 metres final at the Olympics where Kerr and Ingebrigtsen sort of looked at each other and that's sort of City and Arsenal. And then the American comes in out of nowhere. That's what Liverpool are hoping they'll be.
Now let's talk about the URC and Connacht had a great victory, 36-30 against the Sharks. But Munster, and I watched that Munster-Zebre game, Zebre deserved their win.
They did. Munster, an embarrassment, I think, was the line that Donal O'Callaghan used about Munster. 20 straight victories for Munster against Zebre. Zebre finished bottom of the table last season. And Munster, despite not playing particularly well in the first half, still looked like they were going to have enough. They were in front at the break. They only scored 5 points after half time. And they just gifted the game to Zebre. Yeah. Every single Zebre try seemed to come from a Munster mistake. They kind of got away with it last week a little bit, Munster against Connacht, where they kept back and they showed a lot of character and resilience. But questions have been asked now about Dennis Leamy and their defensive setup, that they're so easy to play against. Obviously, it's early in the season. They didn't play many preseason games.
Also, you know, the first try that was gifted to Zebre, I think it was after the break, was a forward pass. Undoubtedly a forward pass from Munster, which allowed your man to be in position to take the ball. But I found that a lot of their passing, maybe it's just on the telly and you can't tell, a lot of it's very flat passing. You know, you're really on the cusp of illegality almost.
Possibly, and it all just felt like everything was a little bit off. And again, we're only the second week into what's going to be an unbelievably long season, for particularly for their Irish players, for their senior players who'll be hoping to go on a Lions tour and all of that. And they started like this a couple of years ago, and eventually, it took them a long time, 2 years ago, and only Graham Rowntree's going to have that luxury of waiting till post-Christmas. Yeah. They go to Croke Park in a couple of weeks to take on Leinster, who weren't massively convincing, but sort of did the job.
34-6 at the end of the day.
First half in particular. And that's sort of what you expect from Munster in a scenario like that. Yes, we didn't play well, but it's against Zebre, and we have the quality and we have the depth to go and win this game convincingly. So a really, really one of the biggest surprises in the URC in many years.
Now, we all remember when the Ireland men's rugby team had that famous win in Chicago against the All Blacks. The women have now done the same.
Yeah, and actually for the second time, because in 2014, Ireland beat New Zealand at the World Cup. But Irish rugby, the Irish women's rugby team have... Well, listen, they've fallen off the edge of a cliff over the last decade. It's a massive embarrassment for the IRFU what they've allowed happen with women's rugby in this country from that high point of beating New Zealand. And just to put this into context, New Zealand have won every World Cup for the last 30 years, except for that year in 2014 when Ireland beat them in the group stage. Since then, Ireland had a really flat home World Cup. They failed to qualify for the last World Cup. They had the wooden spoon in the Six Nations in 2023. So now they've managed to build themselves back up into this new tournament, the WXV1. They'd started out in the lowest tier. They've managed to work their way back up to the very top tier. And last night in Vancouver, won by 29 points to 27 in a game that ebbed and flowed. It wasn't one where Ireland built up a lead and they managed to hang on. They get a try right at the very end. The conversion off the post to win it. So finally, some green shoots and finally some bit of respect.
And do we know what
players.
They did? I mean, what was the change?
Well, they've changed coach, first and foremost. A huge amount of the women's game has been focused on sevens rugby. And obviously, there's an Olympic medal at the end of that. And David Nusafora was very much focused on the sevens game and the women's side of things. So most of their best players and the contracts have been handed to players on the sevens side. They do have a better infrastructure in place. They're still miles behind what New Zealand are doing, England and France are doing in terms of the value of those contracts. It's really, if you want a career and you're working outside of that, you basically have to give that up for probably less money. So there's still a lot to be done, but it does mean at least they're getting back to a position where now they can start making demands of the IRFU again.
And finally, a potentially big night for Shells tonight in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, this is the ultimate slow bike race, the League of Ireland title race. So Friday night, Shelburne, who are top of the league, Damien Duff, the manager, they've won one of their last eight matches and they drew 0-0 with Sligo on Friday night. But it was a good night for them, because their two main rivals, Derry City and Shamrock Rovers, were both beaten, and it's another game gone.
Yeah,
they're playing Pats tonight. Stephen Kenny is now.
So they're a point to the good after
exactly,
what happened.
Exactly. Now, it's all set up in that Shelburne are playing tonight against St. Patrick's Athletic at Talca Park. It'll be absolutely wedged. Stephen Kenny has gone in post-Ireland as St. Patrick's Athletic manager. They've been the best team in the league since he went in. Now, they're left it too late. They're not in the title running. But Shells at Pats tonight. Then they go to Shamrock Rovers on Sunday. But the last night of the season in the League of Ireland is Derry against Shelburne up in Derry. And there's Derry've won one game in seven. Shells have won one game in eight. And none of the other teams have been able to fully capitalise. Shelburne, I think they have the fifth or sixth highest budget. Like, it's a miracle that they've gotten this position. It's a real testament to what Damien Duff has done. But they are just hanging on for dear life right now.
Okay, we watch what happens tonight with great interest. Nathan Murphy, broadcaster with Off the Ball. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.